You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. My name is Fred Flight, substituting for your usual host, Frank Gaffney, who is taking a well-deserved vacation. My first guest today is nationally syndicated columnist Diana West. She is author of The Death of the Grown-Up, An American Betrayal, and one of the smartest experts on international security that I know. Diana, welcome.
Oh, well, thank you, Fred. It's wonderful to be with you.
You know, I can't think of anyone I'd like to talk to more to get a take on the problems we're seeing within the National Security Council concerning the director, General H.R. McMaster. There have been stories that former Obama officials are pressing him to let go conservatives. There's concern by quite a few conservatives in this town that General McMaster is not promoting the policies of the president and that Mr. McMaster should be let go. Give me your take on this and the state of play.
I would love to, and I'd like to start by saying that I would say the president is not promoting his own policies. It's all very well to blame General McMaster for what's going on, but ultimately this is a presidential decision. That said, remember a year ago when President Trump gave his first foreign policy address, and he actually specified that he wanted a very different kind of foreign policy, that he would look for talented experts with approaches and practical ideas rather than surrounding myself with those who have perfect resumes, but very little to brag about except responsibility for a long history of failed policies and continued losses at war. Now, we look at the continued losses of war. We look at Iraq, we look at Afghanistan, and certainly General McMaster is deeply involved with General Petraeus and the entire military establishment that created the strategies that ended up in those losses at war that President Trump essentially told us and ran on, stopping, halting, starting afresh. And so this is actually the root of the problem, is that President Trump seems to have forgotten his own agenda.
There's a fascinating story by Jed Babin on this issue concerning the leadership problems with the National Security Council that refers to General McMaster as the ultimate holdover. And apparently he made a statement that there are no holdovers in the NSC, meaning that there may be Obama holdovers, but he's not going to call them that. What's your take on this?
Well, this is, again, business as usual. This is the swamp asserting its prerogatives. In terms of swamp, meaning establishment, meaning the deep state is one way of looking at it, but just in terms of the bureaucratic continuity from one administration to the other, whether it's Bush to Obama and now to Trump. When H.R. McMaster first came into his slot, there was discussion of his points of view, and one of the things that I would have thought would have given him walking papers was his own aversion to the phrase, which for me is only partway there, but in terms of talking about radical Islamic terrorism, which became President Trump's catchphrase, talking about the threats of expansionist Islam would be my way of looking at it. McMaster wouldn't even go to that level of discussion, radical Islamic terrorism, because he thought it was unhelpful, because he thought terrorism was un-Islamic, quote, in the first place. This is an absolute return to the whole notion of appeasing Islam in order to try to win Islam over to our side, which was the basis of the counterinsurgencies in Iraq and Afghanistan, which ended up in tremendous defeats for the United States. Again, we thought Trump was going in a different direction. So the question becomes, what does Trump know, and when will he do something about it? That this is an enduring frustration with so many Trump supporters who actually believed that he was going to break with this terrible past policy. And we are not seeing that break, and we are seeing the entrenchment of this same policy of appeasement inside his own White House. And now, as you reference, the holdovers, the purging of the pro-Trump officials in the NSC and elsewhere. So this is a terrible, terrible conundrum. And again, one wonders, what does President Trump think about these things? What's going on? I mean, this is something I hear all the time from people.
Well, I might add, concerning the term radical Islamic terrorism, That was actually originally excluded from the president's Saudi speech, supposedly because of the influence of General McMaster, but the president either overruled him or just added it to the speech anyway. I want to ask a related question, and this is response to a brilliant article by Admiral Ace Lyons in the Washington Times on August 6th, titled Resetting the Foreign Policy Agenda, in which he argues that there really has to be a substantial house cleaning within the National Security Council, the State Department, the Department of Defense. How would you recommend the president getting a hold of his foreign policy and carrying out what he had promised to do during the campaign?
Well, the first thing you should do is call up Admiral Lyons and have lunch and get his extremely wise counsel and experienced counsel. And he should all, I mean, you know, I feel that President Trump excluded all of the supporters and very experienced and respected supporters of his desire to break with the past. And that would include the folks at your shop, the Center for Security Policy, Frank Gaffney and yourself, and many others who have supported him all throughout. Again, this is the notion of he came to town and he didn't bring any of his posse. And if we go back to the campaign trail and we see your Sarah Palins and your Rudy Giuliani's, his complete break, it seems, with Sheriff Arpaio, for example, another one of his stalwarts on the campaign trail, is one of the great disgraces, I think, of his administration to date. I hope he corrects it, you know, in terms of Sheriff Arpaio's conviction recently, and no presidential pardon, no word. It's just an amazing thing. It's as if you go back to the Carter administration, another outsider in the Washington scene, he came to town with what we used to call the Georgia Mafia. I mean, this is the thing. Reagan came in with his kitchen cabinet, the people from California. Trump did not come into town with his people. And I think that this is the fundamental flaw of this administration. It is not leaks. It is because personnel in place want to destroy him, and they leak. The problem of leaks would go away without any kind of justice investigation if President Trump simply hired people who supported his agenda. And I think this is the basic problem of Trump, and this is what people do not understand about Trump. Does he just not get it? Is he part of it? What's going on? I mean, this is sort of a giant question mark that just is over his entire administration at this point of crisis.
Well, I see this as an insurgency presidency, and I've actually argued with liberals on the air that Trump is an example why we can't have outsiders running government. I absolutely reject that. I think it's the insiders, it's the swamp that have caused us so many problems. But I'm with you. I know so many people in town who are good conservatives who seem to be on a no-call list when it comes to jobs with this administration. I mean, they've applied for jobs and they can't even get an interview. They don't get phone calls. And I just have to think, who's in charge of personnel? Why is this happening?
Well, that's exactly a very good question. You go to the personnel, people who are in charge of personnel, and you find the swamp. You find the same establishment acting as gatekeepers on the administration. And this is a fundamental problem. It afflicts many conservative administrations over time, but in this case, it seems to be the very worst yet. And I wonder, who does even President Trump speak to at this point, outside of a couple of names I could come up with? But even people who are not versed on all of these questions, you know, he really has very little in terms of counsel that I would consider dependable. And again, part of his own agenda, people who seized up and had been working for these same kinds of issues for many years with great experience, who are not, don't seem to be, as you say, on his call list. And this is a tremendous tragedy. And one wonders, how insulated is he? He's got a chief of staff now. He's got General McMaster. I mean, are these people helping him get a wide range of opinion, or are they shutting him down? And I'm afraid, to date, what we see is he's being shut down.
Well, Diana West, I'm afraid we have to wrap it up there. Thank you so much for your analysis. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio. We're going to continue this discussion in a few moments with my colleague at the Center for Security Policy, Michael Waller. Stay tuned.